Hey everyone, I'm your host Piers Kicks, and welcome back to Metaverse Musings, which is a research-focused podcast that's part of Delphi Digital. We explore the integral components behind what many believe will be the internet's successor, a virtual extension of the natural world where most of us will eventually live, work, and play. To some, it represents our next great milestone as a network species, and to others, it is something to fear. With our guests, we discuss the technology, philosophy, and culture behind this brave new world. If you're not yet subscribed to the Delphi Research Portal, then I fear for your soul. You're missing out on the most incisive analysis that the digital asset space has to offer. Seriously, check it out. Nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. This podcast features sponsors, and any ads are not an endorsement by Delphi Digital and are for informational purposes only. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode. Today I'm delighted to introduce you to the two co-founders of Delphi Digital. We've got Jan Lieberman and Anil Litter with us, and we've got Gabby, who is the founder and CEO of Yield Guild, which is one of the earlier investments we made out of Delphi Ventures, and certainly one of the ones that I think we're most excited about here. It's already having some pretty exciting real world impact in a way that not many other projects are. So yeah, thank you for joining us, guys.
Hey, happy to finally be here.
So yeah, I guess
it's been months in the making. Yeah, damn.
That's right.
Excited to get into it. I guess, Gabby, to set the stage for us and kick it off, you know, what is Yield Guild? Give us a high-level summary.
Sure. So Yield Guild Games, or YGG, is a play-to-earn gaming guild. So what that means is we invest into NFTs of different games and virtual worlds that have some sort of a play-to-earn component. That means you're earning some kind of token rewards for the games that you're playing. And these token rewards are usually basically cryptocurrency-based. You can exchange them for ETH and eventually for fiat. So what we do is that we invest in games in such as Axie Infinity, where we came from and have the largest operations in, but also different games like Sandbox, Formula One, Delta Time, Illuvium, Zedron, a few others. And yeah, we basically hand over the governance and the control of these games and the assets that we buy to our community and let them earn an income with it. And yeah, this is pretty much what we do.
Yeah, and I think, Gabby, like, it'd be helpful to, you know, before we even dive into your background, to kind of explain exactly who the audience and kind of, you know, exactly who your users are, right? It's not like I think it's important for everyone to understand that it's not just like the, you know, crypto people who are just, you know, trading and, you know, farming things on, you know, DeFi protocols. It's a whole new user base that you're bringing on into crypto.
Yeah, so DeFi has a reputation of basically just the same pool of users that are earning yield across different protocols. And what's pretty special about what we're doing is that I would say over 90% of our guild members are actually new to crypto. And this is because we offer them the experience of something they learn how to do, which is play a game. And they don't have to buy the assets. We invest in the assets. The guild owns the assets. And we basically lend these out to our players. So all these players start with is that I can play a game and earn money. And if you kind of open it to that kind of demographic, there's actually a lot more people that can just pick up a game like Axie Infinity, start playing, and then they learn blockchain as they go along. So this is pretty important because we've seen that if you start with the crypto side, it's a lot harder to onboard people. But if you start with, hey, want to play a game and earn some money in the process, you actually really widen your target demographic. And actually, most of the players that we have are from emerging markets, pretty much regular people who have good game experience, but not really, you know, tech savvy or especially crypto savvy. So the countries that we are mainly operating in are the Philippines, Indonesia, India, Venezuela, and Brazil. And actually the money that these players are earning from these games are pretty significant compared to how much they can earn in those respective countries.
Yeah, I think that's like the most important, like I see Yield Guild in so many different ways, and I think we're going to get through all those, you know, throughout this pod. But, you know, I really do see in one way Yield Guild as this like next generation type university, right? Where instead of paying like a you know, a huge fee and, you know, huge textbooks cost and everything like that. You're actually getting paid because you also have a job, right? And I think, you know, that's such a fascinating aspect. You know, I think throughout the pod, you know, Pierce, Jan, and I will, you know, really kind of express how excited we are about YieldBuild and why, you know, we've been, you know, so heavily involved in kind of like, you know, what you guys are working on. But I think maybe it's best to take a step back and, you know, give everyone some context and give everyone, you know, a little bit of your background, your story, and then, you know, we can slowly go into, you know, how YieldBuild even came about.
Sure. So my background is really as a game developer. Here in the Philippines, I was part of the team that made the first game back in 2003. 2014, I started a mobile game studio called Altitude Games. So we were making games for iOS and Android phones. In 2017, we heard about Ethereum and the concept of smart contracts. I'd heard about Bitcoin before, but the use cases were around remittance and fintech, which I really wasn't so interested in. So it was when we heard about the concept of basically programmable money, smart contracts, I got really interested. And we started researching this at the game studio to see how we could kind of integrate this into our games. And while we were doing this research, CryptoKitties came out. This is November 2017, and popularized the term non-fungible token. It brought down the Ethereum network then, and it showed that you can put in basically unique tokens on the blockchain. So this is really a very kind of aha moment for us being game developers. Now that we realize that you can put game items on the blockchain, which is kind of sovereign, the player owns them, not longer kind of directly tied to the game, and you can kind of take it with you wherever you go. That was really an eye-opening moment. And I've been kind of pushing the boundaries for NFTs ever since. So 2018, we started developing a blockchain games. I released one called Battle Racers. In the last year, I was very heavily researching on different protocols related to NFT and DeFi. And most importantly for this narrative, I started playing Axie Infinity in late 2018. Met one of the founders, Jiho, at one of the conferences. And then, yeah, I invited him here in Manila to talk about blockchain games. And he lent me 3 Axies. And basically, that's the rest is history.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to almost pause here and just, like, you know, pay homage to, you know, how incredible Axie and what an important piece, you know, Axie plays here. Obviously, you know, Delphi and, you know, especially Jan and Paul from our team played a really big role in designing the AXS governance token. But maybe, you know, Jan, you can give some context as far as, like, you know, I think very similar to Gabby, we fell down the Axie rabbit hole in, you know, 2017, 2018. And, you know, we saw something brewing there. And yeah, maybe Jan, you can dive into that real quick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was actually when we first started, it was our first external consulting gig where we were asked to kind of look into the gaming space. And so this was in late 2018, where there was basically nothing except Axie. So, you know, we can confidently say that nothing else that we looked at is still around at the time, or at the current time. And Axie, you know, it was by far the game that we thought had the most promise, and it was live. We really actually enjoyed playing it. And so we, you know, contacted the team and as part of the just natural due diligence process to learn as much as we can about the game. And we continued to follow it. And, you know, thankfully they reached out in late 2019 to have us kind of help them design the token. And that was a really fun experience because, you know, we played the game way back when, and the idea of a token at the time was still, it was something we imagined they were going to bring eventually, but it really kind of helped us wrap our minds around the whole idea of play to earn and what it can mean and how sustainable of a model it really becomes, especially, you know, as all the in-game flows are basically accrued to the token, where rather than all the in-game spend in a normal game accruing to the equity of the company and really that's where all the value sits. Here you have a situation where as more users join, as more money is spent in the game, it all gets added back to the community pot, which is effectively used to incentivize additional adoption and reward token holders and kind of allows for a lot of unique mechanisms to engage with the user base. And so that was, you know, something we designed in late 2019, and then thankfully had the opportunity to lead the round in 2020 through our venture arm. But it's been, you know, really insane to watch. And especially as of late, their numbers have been nuts. And I'm I know you guys have a really large role to play in that. So we'd love for you guys to expand on that.
Yeah, so we've been very active in Axie ever since we started Yield Guild. And we're doing what is called a scholarship program in the game, where we are breeding Axies and lending them out to players that is coming in. And that is definitely the leading cause of the explosive growth that Axie has been doing lately. So yeah, so just some really quick numbers. We have around 2,000 Axie scholars in Yield Guild. We have around 18,000 guild members overall, and these scholars have farmed over 18 million SLP, which is over $2 million. And the most amazing thing about that is that 90% of that has gone back to our players. So 70% goes to the player, 20% goes to the community manager that's handling them, and 10% goes back to the guild. So of the over $2 million generated, most of that kind of flows back to our players.
Yeah, that's incredible. I don't think people really understand the scale of those numbers, especially when you're talking to the people that, you know, those numbers are going to, right? If those revenues were going to, crypto whales, they might be like, okay, this is a drop in the bucket, et cetera. But going to, people in, places like the Philippines, Venezuela, even small villages in India and everything like this, it's just like so massive. And I think, it'd be great to go into some of these stories, because, you've introduced us to so many people whose, lives Axie and Yield Guild have, positively impacted, where, to the point where, in these conversations, they're telling us that, they go to sleep and wake up every morning praying that Axie and Yield Guild, are there tomorrow, and it's such a heartwarming story. Like, I don't know which stories you want to pick, but I'm sure you have a, couple to go through here.
Yeah, it's just crazy how many stories really just come out of our community. Like, for example, Cabanatuan City in northern Philippines is where kind of the earliest epicenter of Axie Infinity came out late last year because of the early lockdown. And we have a lot of players there, like of all ages. There is kind of a grandma and grandpa tending their store, and when there's no one in their store, they're just playing the game, and then they're able to use that to buy medicines. And we checked up on them recently, and they, through their SLP earnings, they were actually able to financially assist their daughter who had migrated to Canada for a better life. So it's kind of a crazy story where, and it's a reverse situation where the parents who are retired and kind of grinding Axie are helping their daughter who has moved to a better life. There are people who have bought, food for the table, milk for their kids, a car, even two houses at the extreme end. It's just amazing how much basically a lot of these people have gotten from SLP. And the best thing, a kind of feedback cycle of people helping the scholarship program, and then they're able to earn some money. They actually start helping some of the other people in their vicinity. So they may start their own small scholarship program, or they may be investing in Axies for their family members to play, or they may be kind of paying for some of the immediate needs of their family. It's a super strong culture of pay it for seeing is actually a very strong positive network effect of people helping people kind of get out of poverty and into basically upward mobility in life.
Yeah, and I think that's such a big role about it too. Is like, when Jan, our team at Delphi, and I, we were looking at this, even talking to investors like Mark Cuban about Axie and Yield Guild. There are a lot of, it's almost like a big responsibility and duty, right? Where you want to make sure that this game is sustainable and this model is sustainable for the long term. So, understanding that aspect of it is so key. And I think one, obviously the most vital and important part about that is like community, right? So like, you saw this with DeFi protocols where even the strongest DeFi protocols, their community isn't as sticky as maybe you would have hoped. It comes in waves, but in a game like Axie and, you know, these other crypto games that, you know, obviously Pierce has been diving, you know, a lot into, these communities are like, you know, almost become a little bit like cults, but they're way stickier than, you know, these other DeFi communities or these other communities that might be, you know, might move based off where the yield is or something like this. You know, you can't really fork, you know, you can't do a Uniswap to Sushi Swap in Axie, right? You can fork the game, but you can't fork the community. It's pretty incredible to see that. I guess, like, you know, what is it about crypto games? And, you know, Pierce, feel free to jump in here as well, as like all these games that, you know, even with something like Alluvium that we're seeing right now, like the community has already become, you know, so strong, and this game isn't even out yet, right? Like what is it that makes that like happen, right? Like I've tried to, you know, we've discussed this so much internally in the team, but I'd love to have a kind of like an open conversation here about it.
Yeah, Gabby, I don't know whether you want to jump in on that one. Would love to get some color around, like, you know, the types of things you guys are looking for within these, you know, up and coming games and virtual economies. Obviously, it's still pretty early days across the board. I think we can probably discuss some of the merits of this technology in gaming at length, which we'll get onto. But yeah, I would love to know, you know, how you guys are sort of thinking about, you know, what those target sort of virtual economies are and what that selection process looks like for you.
Okay, so we do look at a lot of different games to see which ones that we would like to invest in. And I guess the primary one is that there has to be some sort of like play to earn loop, right? That means there is some kind of reward from playing the game. So for example, our community loves NBA Top Shot, but we would not invest in it as a guild because there's no yield component about it. We're not really set up as a guild to buy and sell or trade NFTs. We want to buy NFTs, and if we can, hold them forever and have our community just earn yield from it forever, right? So this is done. We did this first with Axie, and then we did this with League of Kingdoms. Most recently, we've invested in Zedron and Splinterlands, and yeah, a few other games in between. And then when we buy this, we pair this with a community lead from basically someone from our community who's very passionate about the game. And yeah, they basically take control, and we want to hand off the day-to-day operations, playing the game, and governance over to our community. And one of the concepts we have is that we're creating a DAO of DAOs. So there's a DAO for each game, and with containing the assets and the yield that is in each game. So each game will have its own wallet. There's a token minted against it. So in our case, YGGLOK for League of Kingdoms. And then the players get to buy in the sub-token, the sub-DAO token, at basically our cost of acquiring the land. So instead of buying lands themselves, they are part owner of the YGGLOK estate. And then we hand over governance to our players. So they are pretty much free to run the game as they see fit. So, so far, one governance proposal has passed. The community wanted to turn the yield, which was DAI, in DAI, to CDAI or compound DAI, so it would still be earning yield while it was in the wallet. And I think the community is just starting to figure out what it means to have blockchain-style governance in games, such as League of Kingdoms. And it's an experiment that we're really interested in, kind of pushing to the limit in all of the games that we're working with.
Super interesting. I'd also love if you could give some color. Like, obviously you come from a more traditional game development background, and you've been in the industry a long time, having built a number of mobile games. Can you comment at all on this shift towards these more sort of open virtual economies, whereby, you know, people are able to kind of participate in the economics of the value that they're helping create, right? If you can give some color on kind of the high level shift towards that from some of these perhaps larger game publishers and whatnot.
Yeah, so the most important concept is that these games with NFTs are driven by player-owned economies. And, you know, we have had some instances of these in games before blockchain. So I guess most notably EVE Online, which has been around for, I think, almost two decades now, but it's always been either impossible or kind of gray market to cash out resources that you've had in game into basically real money. So with these player owned economies, it's really your player base that owns a chunk of your economy, and you as the game developer, you're acting as the kind of facilitator of your own economy. So it's like your own little country with its own little economy, and you're creating basically the game experience that will allow this this economy to grow. And yeah, we've seen this, I guess, most successfully with Axie so far, but I'm expecting other games to be able to build very interesting economies that people will be able to invest in as well.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, where, you know, the game is proactively making this feasible, where, so, you know, thinking back to just like, I've been a gamer for, you know, my entire life. So you, like the first kind of instance where I noticed that, you know, this element existed, but the game itself made it prohibitive, was thinking back to like Diablo and Diablo 2, where in order to move, in order to kind of monetize the runes or any kind of assets that you you pick up, you have to move, you have to transfer gold to D2 JSP and basically use a third party site to store your kind of wealth, and then other players would have to do it through there as well. And it created a lot of friction and made it really difficult. And, you know, for Blizzard, it kind of makes sense where they want they don't want to make it easy to store wealth across seasons. They'd rather have you restart and then commit all the time and kind of play there. Whereas right now, what you're seeing with these kind of games is, and even just like the play to earn model in general, is the way it's sustainable. It's in a handful of ways. So on one side, before the Axie token even launched, the way that it existed now is, you have on one hand, on one end of the kind of the transaction, you have users that, so basically when you play the game, you farm SLP, and that item is it's minted when you farm it, and then it's destroyed when you consume it. And so for certain players on who need it to breed and kind of all the future actions that'll involve it, it takes a while to farm. And so from your perspective, it's a lot easier to kind of buy some of it when you need it on an ad hoc basis to perform potentially more profitable actions, or if it's just easier for you to kind of go down that route and rather than farm it. And on the other hand, you have the users that can play the game and farm this resource, and the rate at which they're the yield that they kind of get by farming and selling this asset is really considerable relative to the wages they're able to earn. So you kind of have this geo-arb this geo-wage arb, where, you know, on both users are happy, because on one hand, it would take too much time for one user to farm it, and on the other end, it's actually very lucrative for users to spend their time to farm it. And you're able to actually facilitate that rather than normally make that a friction, as you've seen in previous games.
Yeah, I think, that's really well said. And I think, that's how play to earn works. And I think, you know, we did really good job in the play to earn documentary, which, by the way, you know, we'll definitely put in the show notes. If anyone's listening and hasn't seen that, it's on YouTube. Gabby, the Axie team, Yield Gil, Delphi, and obviously Imparsis, did such a great job on showing exactly the impact of that. And I think, Jan, maybe we should have a video of, you explaining just what you said in combination with that video, because I think that's like the full story right there. I think, one of my, favorite parts about this is, going back to what I said earlier, as far as like this being, kind of a university where people are getting paid. So like the job aspect of this is so powerful too, right? Where, the future of work is like right in front of us. You obviously hear people like, Nepal talking about how everyone's gonna, have their own jobs and, not be working for companies, et cetera. It's amazing when, he says something like that and people think like, oh, wow, that's, that's gonna be a crazy at the end of this decade. I kind of laugh and think like this is happening right now with Yield Guild and, protocols like this, right? So Gabby, maybe like, I'm such a big fan of the Yield Guild team. Maybe talk about how that team came into shape, but also how your team is not going to be this like centralized best of, a bunch of, your team isn't going to grow to like 50, 100 people over the next, 6 months. It's actually going to just be a community driven effort, right?
Sure. So Yield Guild, so there's three of us co-founders, and So one of my co-founders is an Anon dev called Isle of Moistness. So when I came into Axie late 2018, he was already there. And yeah, he was a community dev. So he actually like makes like amazing Discord bots and smart contracts. And last year during this time, we were actually learning how to yield farm for the first time. So this this time last year, we were actually farming the Wi-Fi DAI 98.2 balancer pool, if you remember those days. And yeah, we were kind of learning yield farming from scratch in different protocols, not getting much sleep. Owl posted two double mystics on NFT5 for collateral, and I lent him 20 ETH, and he was yield farming on that. And at the same time, Beryl's a friend of mine from the crypto space, was really deep experience in fintech. So she was actually in the founding team of coins.ph, which is the number one crypto wallet for a long time in the Philippines. And we were yield farming separately. And what happened was that when Axie started exploding in Cabanatuan City in the Philippines because of the lockdown, I thought like, you know, it was time to create an organized guild out of this and start it. And so the funny thing was, during kind of these DeFi summer last year, there was so much going on. I started becoming an NFT insurance agent for Urine, if you remember those times. And that was how I met the Delphi team. So Anil actually DM'd me out of nowhere on Twitter, and he's like, hey, I really love what you guys are doing, what you're doing. Like, way to go, like showing what NFTs can do. And Anil didn't know that I already had a pitch for a play to earn guild in my back pocket. So I asked for a call, and I targeted Delphi specifically because of two things. One, I knew that they designed the AXS token. And second, in DeFi, when I was always heard about, oh, why doesn't the Delphi team design the Wi-Fi token or this other token or this other token? I was like, yeah, holy shit, I need to talk to these guys. So yeah, I got in touch with Anil, met Pierce, met Jan, met the rest of the team, Colm as well. And yeah, that's how we really got started. But yeah, for the other part of what you said, so how are we thinking of growing the team? So the funny thing is, like, we're a team of maybe 12 now, but I see the team as basically 18,000, which is the strength of our entire community. Each of our game leads are from the community. All of our scholarship managers that are handling our thousands of scholars are actually community members. And what's special about it is that these guys are all empowered and are able to earn even though they are not basically salaried members of the team. So for example, each community manager, the scholarship manager, they are earning 20% of the SLP that that the scholars generate. And on top of that, once we launched the YGG token, we've actually set aside 45% of the supply for basically giving out to the community over a long period of time to make sure that our interests are aligned and that our community as much as possible are the owners of the protocol and yeah, not just the whales and investors who have a lot of money.
That's a bit of an alpha leak, but yeah, no, I couldn't be more excited. I remember, you know, our first call. I mean, obviously the passion came off, and you know, Delphi and our team, we've been, you know, really involved in the Axie community, but you know, we're busy running a research consulting ventures division. So, you know, we aren't on the ground floor like, you know, you and Owl were. So, you know, even getting your perspectives about that community was just so fascinating. And I think you know, like, you know, I've told you time and time again, Gabby, and I'll say it publicly on this podcast, like, you know, if I wasn't working on Delphi, Yield Guild would be like the one place I would dedicate all, you know, my time and energy towards, right? And I think the most fascinating part about it is you can kind of bring in, you know, you have an outlet for any type of person, right? So it's that university for people who do want to start learning and do want to start, you know, making money and not kind of like, you know, waste their time or energy going to you know, university where they're majoring in something that they don't even know if they're going to do. You get real life knowledge, you know, as you're learning, and, you know, you get revenues for that. But at the same time, I think you guys have such a unique opportunity where you have an outlet for people who are, you know, really, you know, maybe giga brains in the space and maybe, you know, don't need to, you know, earn, you know, income from playing a game or anything, but they want to do something where they're having an impact, right? And actually helping move the space forward. Yeah. I mean, it'd be great to kind of hear like, you know, what are some, you know, I mean, you obviously can accept basically, you know, anyone to work at YieldGo because it's such a vast operation, but like, what type of people are you looking to join? Because I think that that would be great to, you know, let people hear on the spot as well.
Yeah, we have such a, I would say, a diverse range of activities as a kind of social guild that is DAO, that is part investments, that has a comes attached with a large community. So for example, one of the roles that we're hiring now is an esports program manager. And this is especially after our last round, which was invested in and led by Bitcraft, which is basically kind of like the OG esports people in the world, right? We've been getting a lot of guidance from them on how to build an esports program. And this is important for us because we think that NFT gaming esports will be really huge someday. And we want to be at the ground floor of that. And how it's important for us is like a branding exercise. For example, if I'm a scholar from the Philippines or Brazil coming in, and there may be eventually like many different guilds that they may want to join, we want to have the world-class NFT esports winning team. And for the scholar to say like, hey, I may be a scholar now, but I want to be world champion someday. And we want to be able to build that path where I come in as a player with skill and no money and end up eventually being a champion. So that's one example of what we're building. Another is that basically we're doing what is basically early stage investing in games, right? And that comes with a very different skill. And it comes with, you know, evaluating these games that are coming out, looking at tokenomics, looking at how a value will accrue to kind of the game's economy and if there's a token involved. So that is a very different skill level as well. There's a bunch of operational roles that we have, like not only within the core team, but also in each of the games themselves. And, you know, each game is a little bit different, which requires kind of different skills. For Axie, you need a little bit of that kind of Hearthstone card-based strategy where you kind of know which meta you're playing, which cards you're going to be using, and kind of being good at timing that. In different games, then you will also need different skills. So Zedrun, for example, we have one manager that is kind of breeding horses, studying the traits, and then figuring out how to raise those profitably for the guild. So different people are drawn to different parts of the operation, and we kind of try to look within the community to see which ones are super passionate about it, and we kind of just give them the leeway to run away with their skills and interest in the guild.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think like, you know, as you were saying all that, I was kind of like smiling because, I think YieldGuild mirrors Delphi Digital in a lot of different ways, right? Where at Delphi, our main product is kind of this pool of intellectual capital and just like finding the best talent. And, you know, we can, you know, have all these different use cases where we can siphon them off into research, consulting, ventures, et cetera. So, you know, when we interview at Delphi, we always say, you know, like, what's your dream role, right? Like every day when you wake up, what wouldn't feel like work to you that, you know, that you can kind of excel at, and we can kind of craft that role out for you here. And I think YieldGuild's in this very, you know, even almost even better position because it's all like you go to the gamers and say, what's your dream, you know, role in the gaming space? And, you know, this can actually be your job now. And you can siphon them off into, you know, all these different ways, even like, you know, on management, right? You know, the esports angle is, I think, one that people don't even realize YieldGuild is going to, you know, tap into and probably dominate quicker than, you know, anyone else can even get up and running. I think the YieldGuild flywheel is like probably one of my favorite, aspects of, you know, what got us really excited as well. Like, Jan, you want to maybe dive into, you know, what, you know, all these different, you know, ways to look at what YGG really is here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so going into kind of one of them, obviously, you know, you've built up this massive user base across a lot of different areas. And so what's, I think, especially unique with crypto, rather gaming crypto, is that, you know, we're tapping into a completely different user base. And so as games launch and they come online, part of how they gain momentum. And so, you know, the general economies for a lot of these games is you use the token initially to kind of bootstrap players in the early days and really incentivize adoption. And so you kind of hit escape velocity with the games where, and that's part of kind of what they build into the model. And so it's a core necessity for the game itself. And here you have YieldGuild that's sitting with, you know, a massive amount of users that are playing crypto games, and you know, some of them are playing because it's fun, some of them are playing to make a living, and there's that kind of combination that makes it really beneficial for both users. And now each additional game that comes into the space, it's beyond in their best interest to partner with YieldGuild in some way to plug into the community, to integrate, to learn. And so obviously, as you guys deal with more and more games, you start to see what works, what doesn't. And so they want to tap in and integrate with you guys in every single way. You know, there's a massive user base to plug into. They can, like you know, learn from what you guys have seen in the game. They're able to kind of understand what works and realistically what doesn't. And I think it also helps the users themselves, because the players can now, that the members of YieldGuild can have a choice. You know, do I want to play this game? Is it more profitable to play this game? Am I better at a certain game? And so everyone kind of gets to optimize for their ideal situation. And so I think it becomes a really healthy way for new games to kind of join the space. And it also just makes it really possible for new games to join the space, where before they had to individually deal with finding community and finding players. And now, you know, the probability of success for all of these games gets incrementally higher as YieldGuild grows.
100%. That's one of the aspects that I love the most, is like, you know, providing these structured engagement opportunities for this still nascent space. I mean, obviously all of us who are in it see what's coming and have that degree of conviction. But for many, it's, you know, there's still a long way to go on that front. So I think that's one of the really exciting aspects for sure. And as Jan was alluding to, the kind of pedigree of, you know, sophisticated users that understand this stuff, the concentration of them in YieldGuild at this point is almost a little unfair. I wonder how you think about over time, you know, rival guilds that, you know, do similar things emerging, because that's a world that I look forward to, right? Where you're operating across multiple virtual economies and you're this dominant force and you have all the best players and all the best resources and you're generating a lot of yield. But I look forward to the day it becomes competitive. So I wonder, Gabby, whether you can comment on that at all.
So we think of ourselves as a meta guild. I mean, I think it is healthy for guilds to have competition in games. You definitely do not want an IOI situation wherein it's basically just one group dominating everything. That said, the way to think of YieldGuild is not one monolithic guild, but actually a series of very powerful cells that is empowered by the community, the greater community of YieldGuild, and the infrastructure we have, the incentivization around our token, and the culture that we have as well around the guild itself. I don't think people really understand outside of, you know, the Delphi team and our investors about the size and the scale and impact that we are really going for at YieldGuild. We don't want just to be a gamer community that is present in different NFT games around the world. What we see with our impact is that if we are able to onboard millions of gamers around the world, we are going to be a competitor to Uber, to Lyft, to Grab, Tokopedia. So not just to game communities. They, instead of driving taxis, they will be driving axes, basically. They'll be farming in virtual land, and we'll be competing with the work that people are having in their real lives. When people realize they can log on to a game and actually make, you know, 2 to 3 times more money, and on top of that have equity basically or ownership of the community that they are that they belong to, I think, you know, a lot of these jobs will be basically not that interesting to people around the world. So that's where we see ourselves, and we think that YieldGuild will basically be the major economic force in the metaverse.
Yeah, and just one thing I wanted to touch on there, which was the example you kind of brought about with, you know, on one side the Uber comparison, and then also, you know, the Oni equity. And I think just to kind of zoom in and understand, so the play to earn component has two facets. One is the consumable assets, and then the other is the game incentivizing players to come play and via the rewarding of tokens. And so the way to kind of think about that is, you know, with Uber, you have the business model, or from the investment side, is VCs come in, throw a bunch of money at it. That's used to subsidize a lot of costs for them to grow as quickly as possible and achieve scale where costs can kind of make sense. And so the idea is the VC dollars subsidize the drivers And that's kind of how it works. Here, it's a similar mechanism, but a different distribution, in the sense that you now subsidize and incentivize the drivers, the users, through equity in the actual project. So the idea of, you imagine Uber, rather than, you know, subsidizing drivers through VC cash, is able to subsidize them by giving them very small slices of equity in Uber. And so now, not only are they, is it like, you don't have this kind of consumer, it's just a different relationship, where now the players themselves have a massive vested interest in kind of seeing this succeed, and it's the natural way to build communities as well, and create longevity and stickiness with the users. But now the users themselves, you know, are in the way that the equity is kind of transferred, is they own the token, they can stake it, and all that in-game spend gets put in a community pool and gradually distributed to token holders and used for other incentives to grow the game. So every dollar is spent in game is kind of returned to the community, and the players themselves are part owners in the game.
Yeah, I almost want to like leave some pause there just for us, so that all sinks in everyone, because I think that's such a like, you know, important aspect of it. I think, like, you know, Gabby, like when you think about, like, you know, we've had so many, I remember, you know, back in October when we were, you know, you and I were going around shopping this to, you know, every crypto fund that we could, you know, talk to. And now, like, you know, you have so much interest from, you know, pretty much everyone in the game. Like, what is that moment that, you know, you think sparks interest, like makes it all click for everyone now, right? Like, what has maybe changed in the past few months that people are like, okay, this is, you know, this is the future that the world's going to be building on, and I want to be, you know, a part of it, because, you know, something has changed in the past 6 months, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think a big part of it is that I think kind of unique to kind of the crypto scene, I've actually seen a lot of idealism in the crypto investors, and releasing the documentary has helped, but just telling our story of how we are growing crypto networks by onboarding people who are new to crypto via games, and then having them earn an income, which, you know, maybe a small amount to some whales, but especially meaningful for these users. Meaning we are really harnessing the full power of blockchain and crypto networks to do good in this world. It's something that I've seen kind of remarkably across a lot of the crypto investors that I've seen. And now that the story is getting out, and now that we're actually starting to talk to some of the more kind of traditional tech VC funds, they're attracted by the kind of growth in this kind of future of work story, where we're onboarding people to crypto networks and basically having equal economic opportunity at a growth rate that is, yeah, pretty much staggering, because now you can reach people from around the world, wherein your network effects used to be kind of limited to maybe certain countries or certain cities even. But, you know, we are an 8-month-old DAO basically, but we're operating in many different cities around the world simultaneously, because we have community managers there, and this is just a model that we can basically scale around the world at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's actually important to dig into, where, you know, I remember a lot of the pushback that we received from maybe, you know, crypto native funds who are looking at DeFi protocols, where, you know, you have these lines of code that can become infinitely scalable. Whereas, you know, Yield Guild has this huge human coordination aspect, which, you know, humans are the worst, right? Like, trying to solve human coordination is very difficult. So it might not be as scalable as something like a DeFi protocol. But what's fascinating when you talk to, you know, Jan and I have been talking to a bunch of big family offices and big, you know, traditional VC funds, where Yield Guild is probably one of the first, you know, protocols and projects that we bring up to them, because one, it shows like that real world impact. You know, it's no longer possible to say, you know, crypto is not positively impacting people's lives, right? But at the same time, with this, you know, DAO structure and the tooling that we're going to be leveraging, it actually is way more scalable than, you know, human coordination in like a centralized fashion, right? So it's like sits in the middle, where you get the benefits of almost both.
Yeah, the human coordination is definitely a hard part. Like, for example, pretty much any DeFi protocol will probably defeat us in terms of TVL, but we don't look at our protocol in terms of TVL. We look at it, for example, like what's the AUM of the NFT assets that we have? What are the fees that those are generating? And most importantly, like how many lives have we actually made better? So it's not in terms of, you know, people as statistics anymore. How many users have you acquired? We're actually looking at like how many lives have we changed and how have we changed their lives for the better. And as those stories come out, you see that the work that we are doing is actually really relevant for this world.
Yeah, I guess like I'm trying to think, you know, there's so many different ways we can, you know, go to next. Like, you know, what are, you know, say the next 6 months of Yield Guild, right? Like, obviously we've been, you know, working with you guys hand in hand. I think there are some exciting things on, you know, right around the corner, but you know, what do the next 6 months look like for you guys?
So we're releasing the token next month, and it's very important for us to do it at this point. We wanted to build an organic community without a token first, and I think we've succeeded in doing that, but we wanted to put the token out relatively early because we kind of wanted to have the community to have ownership of the project as early as possible. The most exciting thing in my mind is the community mining program that we are introducing later this year. So we don't have a typical liquidity mining program in DeFi where a bunch of whales lock their liquidity in and then they earn our token and then they kind of just sell them when they're done and then they move to the next protocol. So we have what is called a community mining program, which is basically a meta quest system overlaid on top of our partner games like Axie, like League of Kingdoms, like Splinterlands. And you get to perform quests in those games. And that's how you receive the YGG token. And yeah, this will be our primary method of delivering our token to our players, our guild members. That means you have to be an active member of the guild if you wanted to earn tokens and not buy them.
Yeah, I think it would be great as well if we could elaborate a bit on, you know, where the token kind of sits in the ecosystem and some of the core sort of you know, use cases around that.
Sure. So the primary way to think about the YGG token is that it's an index of our farmable assets in the metaverse. It is actually pretty complex, so it's good that we're talking about it. YGG is a DAO of DAOs, and through most of the people I've talked to, we're probably the first implementation of this in that each of the games that we are working with is going to be its own sub-DAO, as we call it, with its own token. YGG as kind of the mother DAO will own a portion of that, and a portion will be owned by the players who are actually playing each specific game. So if I'm a gamer and I really care about Axie, I want to own a portion of the YGG Axie token. If I'm super passionate about Illuvium, I want to own part of the YGG ILV token. And that gives you kind of a localized feeling wherein I'm just not just part of a 20,000 person guild, I am part owner of this game that I'm playing with maybe, you know, 20 of my friends, right? But as the guild itself, the guild owns a huge part of the token of each sub-DAO, which means it's almost like a kind of Berkshire Hathaway-like real estate, a conglomerate structure where you have a mother entity that owns significant stakes in different subsidiaries that are earning yield that have assets. And this is a very, I would say, complex structure that I don't think has ever been done before. But if you think about this over time, as the metaverse grows, we will be home to the greatest collection of yield-producing assets, NFTs, in the best virtual worlds and games. And owning the YGG token will basically give you a slice of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's definitely one of the super cool parts. And it's kind of like, as you alluded to earlier, this sort of multicellular organism, and that's how it scales so much better, right? You give people that granularity, you know, they can sort of choose in which capacity they do engage. One thing I'd like to, yeah, touch on a bit more as well is sort of the, you know, the kind of guild treasury overall, that sort of war chest. If we could elaborate on that a bit, because obviously, again, you guys have this sort of highly educated kind of, you know, guild members who are kind of the boots on the ground and often first to these games. Like, you know, Yield Guild really has sort of unparalleled insights into what the next great games are going to be and what the prime assets, and whether that's virtual real estate or whether those are, you know, productive sort of functional NFTs. Would love if you could just talk a bit about, yeah, the protocol treasury overall and kind of its size and performance and what the real objective is with it.
Okay, so just a brief history of our fundraising. We raised $1.3 million in the seed round last, I would say, October, and then closed another $4 million just last month. So we've raised a $5 million total. But actually, in that original $1.3 million we raised, before we got the next round, we were actually at around at least $4 million in AUM. A big part of it is that we made some early bets in games that we really believed in. So for example, we bought a lot of land in Axie because we knew that land gameplay was going to yield their AXS governance token, which is massively valuable. We bought some land in Sandbox, which, you know, if it comes anywhere close to being kind of the Roblox of blockchain, then it's going to be massively valuable. And the land itself, I think, has grown around 10x from when we bought it. So with the treasury that we have, a big part of that really goes towards investing in the NFT assets that is kind of the core of the business model that we do. And then, yeah, with the rest of the treasury, it's a mix of, we also buy governance tokens of some of these games in the ecosystems that we believe in. And the reason for that is that if we're heavily investing in the ecosystem of a game, so if we're buying NFTs, if we're bringing our community to a game, we want to capture a part of that value that we're creating through its associated governance token. So that's why we actually own a lot of AXS. We own the Sand token. We own the Rev token as well. So it means that we're kind of an index broadly of the metaverse. And I guess the assets that we own are a reflection of what we believe the best yield-bearing assets are in the metaverse.
Super cool. Yeah.
I think that's such an important, you know, part too, because, like, you know, a lot of people and funds view Delphi as, like, you know, this kind of premier, like, crypto gaming investing fund, and we have, you know, all this good IP around it. Really the secret of that is just, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Pierce, Column, and, you know, now Jeremy P as well, but really the secret is that is, like, we're pinging Gabby and, you know, the Yield Guild team whenever we're DDing games and saying, hey, you guys like this, and, you know, what are your thoughts here? And that unparalleled insight is just, like, you know, it's so ridiculous. I think you know, one other point I wanted to bridge into too is, like, kind of like the, you know, last, I don't remember when it was, maybe August or September, maybe Jan, you remember, you know, our team, you know, did this in very stealth mode. We, you know, purchased, you know, 4 or 5 axes for, I believe it was 153 or 160 grand. And, you know, for us, these were, you know, we kind of, like, wanted to corner the Axie market as far as, like, some of our favorite and kind of the most valuable, you know, digital battle pets, we called them in that post. That we thought were going to be most lucrative, right, long-term, and had kind of the most interesting attributes. For us, you know, as I said, you know, we're busy running a company, you know, doing research consulting ventures. You know, no matter how much fun we have playing Axie, which, you know, has distracted us, you know, many times over the past few years, you know, at the same time, we can't dedicate all this time to leveraging those assets, right? So for us, Yield Guild also solved that problem of, you know, whales in the space who, and I think this actually is a great, you know, kind of window into thinking about, you know, the past few years of crypto gaming and why it hasn't reached mainstream adoption is because, you know, the opportunity cost of, you know, people in crypto's time is so high where, you know, us, our friends and funds in the space that, you know, their time is better served looking for the next, you know, 100x, you know, low market cap, or, you know, just the next, you know, farm or something like that, which they can earn some, you know, ridiculous yield. Sorry, I was getting a call. And, you know, on the flip side, Yield Guild actually bridges that where, you know, you give our assets and, you know, these assets that are immensely valuable and lucrative in the game, and help provide that to people who may not be able to, you know, actually purchase those assets for, you know, 163 grand or something like that. like, maybe Jan, you can give some context before Gabby goes into like how, just how powerful this is.
Yeah, no, the idea is, so part of the kind of the thought process behind what we were investing in, why, was to understand, even zooming out, Axie is still in its really early days. And so there's going to be a lot of kind of evolution and in terms of the abilities and the moves, and also the game itself is always constantly rebalancing, which, you know, I think is really key to ensuring its longevity, that it always stays competitive. And I think they do a really good job of kind of balancing the meta. But our idea was to look into and understand, you know, based on the kind of the mystics that exist and the rarity of what's out there relative to basically trying to find some of the really rare ones within like the mystic group. And since those are already limited, the idea was, you know, if we can really find those, there's potentially going to be a lot of upside. But at the same time, you know, part of our concern was how do we get some utility. So, you know, the idea, like NFT investing is always tough. So, like on the art side, it's I think you have to be a bit more ahead of the trend or really predicting some like underlying smaller trends. Whereas like we got more comfortable around this because we thought that these were like functional NFTs were something that we, you know, we were really comfortable getting behind. We know that there's always going to be underlying utility, and as the game itself grows, the value of these should naturally appreciate as, you know, effectively more people are seeking a shrinking pie. And so the idea there, that was kind of the logic there. And then even in our conversation with that with Gabby, and I'll kind of let him expand on what they're able to do there, was just another reason we got really comfortable around it. And another reason we thought that these would have potentially more value, where it's not necessarily just limited to the individual who owns them to really get value out of them, but there's the ability to kind of unlock more.
Yeah. So, so with what we're doing, so right now we're actually breeding our axes and then lending that out to our player base. But when we're doing this, we're basically limited by the amount of capital that we have to acquire NFTs. One of the major things that we're preparing for is allowing anyone with their NFTs to be able to basically stake them with Yield Guild and have our very large player community use them. And when that is unlocked, it basically unlocks millions of dollars worth of NFTs to be matched with our ever-growing player community. And now suddenly we're not bound by the money that we've raised, and our AUM can basically grow 10x, 100x because we have outside capital coming in, providing assets that are managed by the guild, lent out to our players, providing opportunities to thousands of people around the world. So yeah, I think that is going to be absolutely massive, and that's where we're headed.
Yeah, I love that aspect for sure. You know, the ability to kind of turn those otherwise idle assets into something productive, and again, it's just engaging all the assets out there. And I'm always skeptical of using the word lubricate, but lubricating this whole, you know, economy and growing ecosystem and whatnot. But yeah, I'm curious, Gabby. I mean, obviously you've got like pretty much the best insight into all of this stuff, also with the traditional game developer background. Like, what do you see as, you know, the path of evolution, and on what timeline can we kind of reasonably expect, you know, some of this stuff to really continue to break out? I mean, obviously Axie, even very recently, you know, was significantly smaller than it is now. It's really going, you know, vertical in its growth. You know, are we going to see more of this on what kind of timeline? And yeah, curious how you're thinking about that.
Yeah, I've been a game developer for 2 decades, and I've seen kind of major trends unlock. So for example, when I was doing PC games in 2003, people were laughing at mobile games. And then kind of 2009, 2010, free-to-play started becoming a thing. And it was actually 2 games. It was Clash of Clans in the West and Candy Crush that made it absolutely massive. And then suddenly everyone wanted to make a free-to-play game. And now with what we're seeing with play-to-earn, I think what we need to see are really one or two absolutely massive success stories. And I absolutely think Axie is this number one success story where, you know, they're growing at basically 20-30% a week. They they did a 5% growth day. Like the numbers are absolutely popping. And now they're on track for something like a $1.4 billion run rate. And the eyes are starting to turn. And they're like, holy shit, like this business model actually works. You can see that players are investing on user acquisition of other players. And this is language that game developers can understand. I was talking to another game developer last week, and how I explained it was that game developers who are usually spending millions and millions of dollars on UA, paying them to Facebook and Google, and with Play to Earn, you are externalizing your user acquisition cost to your player investors that are investing in assets in your game so that they can bring on more players for you. If you think about it that way, then like, holy shit, who wouldn't want that in their community, right? So like, I don't know about like timeline, because things always take longer than you expect. But I don't know, like with you, Pierce, I think you also talk to a lot of these big publishers and developers, like what's going on in their heads?
Yeah, I think as you've alluded to, kind of cats out the bag, everyone needs to be paying attention to it at this point. I think that kind of explosive, proliferative power of those shared economics, of those evangelical forces that are unlocked, you know, through that shared ownership, those aren't going away. Quite obviously, I think from like the consumer perspective, like as soon as you see it once, maybe even if it's not a game that otherwise would, you know, appeal to you yet, like once you see it, once that consumer psychology shifts, like, there's no way we're going back, I don't think. I think that they're definitely aware of it. You know, having spoken to a bunch of them, obviously we've got people like Ubisoft who have already been in the space for a couple of years. They've been experimenting. I'm fairly confident that they're, you know, starting to feel like the time might be right. And then, you know, the others, it's kind of similar story. It seems, you know, pretty obvious that if you're to sit on your hands on this stuff, then, you know, could end up in trouble. And I totally think anyone that does and refuses to, you know, ultimately once this does play out in its fullest form, is going to be in a tricky spot on that front. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to, you know, kind of also just talk about once more, you know, some of these opportunities. We talk about the metaverse and how we're going to evolve into these sort of increasingly pervasive and immersive digital environments. You know, I don't think it's always going to be just games. I think increasingly all this stuff's going to blend together. I wonder whether you can sort of comment on that at all. Yeah, especially obviously in the context of your guild and where you guys sit.
Yeah, the most exciting part for me is that I think what we're doing now is that we're really building the fundamental building blocks of the open metaverse. So first you have the NFTs, which are your basically durable assets where that you can kind of build game experiences on. With Yield Guild, you have communities that are basically recruiting players, these people from around the world, and bringing them into the metaverse so that they can start their journey from there. Even if you don't have money, you can have your metaverse identity. You can be lent your kind of first three axes. You can start playing the game. And then over time, people will maybe buy their own plot of virtual land. So I really see this as where the future of work is going. I think, you know, in 10 years, we probably wouldn't be logging on to a static website or going on Zoom to have our meetings. We'll be, you know, we'll be logging into our 3D avatars, going in VR and having a conversation such as this. You may show your real face, you may be showing your avatar. But I believe that, yeah, we are just really headed for a kind of Ready Player One situation. Like, I don't know if it's 5, 10, 15 years, like who can really tell, but the building blocks of that are already here. And, you know, the position that we play as Yield Guild is that we want to have that metaverse available to anyone who would want to enter it. And that's why we want to be kind of the onboarding, the what we call the recruitment agency of the metaverse.
Yeah, I totally agree. I kind of view it as obviously, despite my best efforts at trying to get these two Luddites to buy a virtual reality headset, that side of things isn't quite there yet. You know, the mediums through which we interact with this stuff obviously still have a long way to go for at least perhaps the mainstream perception of like what that stuff should be. But I think the important thing is that even though you're not necessarily immersed in it yet, like all of this financial infrastructure and technology that's underpinning it and is going to support it, this, you know, economic membrane, like it's all being built right now. You guys are building it. Like it's all in motion already. And like, you know, again, the medium through which you interact with it might not be super sophisticated yet, but you know, all the bricks are being laid. And like, for me, that's one of the really exciting parts of it. And obviously you guys are a big driving force in that, hence my, you know, infallible enthusiasm for Yield Guild. Excited to see where it all goes. I don't know whether Jan or Neil, you wanted to hop in with anything.
Yeah, I think you know, Pearson, Gabby, you guys both share this almost identical view of like, you know, this is the metaverse in the future, et cetera. And, you know, I always kind of like look at my own life and, you know, I wake up, I'm checking my phone, I'm on the laptop all day. I'm like, I feel like we're already, you know, part of this metaverse. And, you know, Yield Guild is just like, you know, exactly where the future is going to be, but you guys are already, you know, there, not just building it, but you guys like just the way that it's being formed, right? Like you guys are building it with what you guys are building towards. Like it's kind of like a beautiful aspect. I mean, you know, I think, you know, Delphi and, you know, our whole team has been, you know, so like proud of, you know, obviously backing Gabby, Owl, Barrel, like you know, your team has been fascinating, backing, you know, a cause and like mission and, you know, one with a vision of yours is just like the most exciting thing to us. Like, and obviously we're really excited for, you know, the YGD token to come out next month. Although I think that quest, you know, the quest mining is going to be really distracting towards the Delphi Digital team. So, you know, that the research might be shaky those that month or so. But yeah, I mean, Gabby, obviously, you know, we really appreciate the time. Like any closing, you know, words or anything you want to say before we hop off? Obviously, Jan, I'll let you go before we, you know, go to Gabby. But obviously, you know, always a fan, Gabby. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say it's tough to assume it's anything besides inevitable. You know, if you just think about how quickly it's grown now, and then on a longer term basis, just general demographic shifts and how every you know all the younger generations are all digitally native, and this is just gonna seem completely natural to them. And so yeah, it's a transition that's happening regardless.
Okay, it's hard to close this. Been an awesome conversation, but. I guess looking back on my career where I started making games purely for entertainment, coming into crypto and learning about the basics of basically what blockchain, digital ledger, what it's used for, combining that with NFTs, and now being able to combine DeFi elements and earn yield and then use a DAO structure to start building basically in the metaverse, there's a lot of concepts in there, and we're actually kind of getting progressively more and more towards science fiction. And for me to be able to wake up every day and kind of work towards making this science fiction a reality for the rest of the world, it's just the most amazing job in the world. That's really all I can say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. Awesome, guys.
Well, yeah, Gabby, echoing Anil's sentiment, it's always a pleasure. You're always a source of inspiration and enthusiasm around this stuff. And yeah, I think speak for all of us when we say we couldn't be more excited to be on this journey with you. And look forward to finally meeting in Meet Space at some point, hopefully this calendar year. yeah, having a beer and discussing all things Yield Guild. Gabby, appreciate you taking the time. Anil, Jan, likewise.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's a
pleasure. Thanks.
Check the show notes for the Twitter and doc and, you know, all the links to all the stuff that we've been talking about here.
Yeah.
There's a lot to dive into.
In the show notes.
We do that, right?